Hey, what's poppin'? It's the Friday show, a very special weekend. Of course, not just March Madness. The Dirt is on Netflix today, the 22nd, Friday.
Does that mean it's on right now?
No.
Oh. When do they usually drop, though? Is it midnight?
You know, I think it is at midnight, actually. Because we're recording on Thursday, it's not on right now.
I know, but
I think it's on Friday all day, I assume.
Wow, okay.
I know, I'm kind of excited. I tell you, I've been reading that book, and it is... It doesn't read as funny as it did when it first came out.
I have a feeling the movie is going to be laughable. I think it's going to be funny for the wrong reasons.
There's some stuff in that movie that they're distancing themselves from, which I think is kind of silly. But anyway, yeah, what a weekend in Mesa Tacos and Tequilas with a 35-foot screen located in the heart of downtown Royal Oak on Main Street between 3rd and 4th. Is the forecast okay for this weekend?
I thought it was supposed to be warmer.
Oh, maybe we'll get raging in downtown Royal Oak. 150 tequilas, and most importantly, March Madness basketball on the 35-foot screen and the 10% Drew and Mike discount. When you get a meal, just ask for it. And I'm hoping people are getting lucky on mybookie.com. Oh, it's not luck. It's skill. Of course.
Yeah.
Sometimes it feels good to be bad. And I don't think I need to encourage people. It seems that mybookie.com has been very busy with people using the promo code Drew at mybookie.ag. This has been good for us. This might be a regular advertiser.
Hopefully.
Things are going.
I'm trying to win $600.
They've been in business for years. They're growing like wildfire, and they pay out fast. So if you call that 12 over 5, make sure to celebrate.
I got to tell you, the in-game betting during the tournament is at a whole new level for me.
I know. I'm kind of pumped about that, too, because so often I feel like I can tell you where the second half is. I'm going to have to do it and fail or succeed to know if it really works.
Yeah. I'm failing right now, but it's fun.
Sorry to hear that. My bookie will match your deposit with a 50% bonus. Put in $1,500. You're on house money. Use a promo code Drew at mybookie.ag. That's Drew, not Drew and Mike, Drew at mybookie.ag. So here we go. And we're just minutes away from Ted Nugent, as Tedley is coming to town August 31st at DTE Energy Theater. And it is the Music Made Me Do It Again tour.
Ted, where you at?
Yeah, I watched a little clip. I wasn't really familiar with the new album. It came out in 2018, late in the year. But I tell you, that track, The Music Made Me Do It,
yeah,
really nice track. Some great riffs on there.
Really?
And there's an acoustic version of Fred Bear.
Whoa.
How long was the track?
It's 6:22, I believe.
Not bad.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool. You don't have the audio of Fred Bear at the end.
Oh.
Like you do on the electric version.
That's okay. I could.
But it's still very cool.
As long as you have Ted's guitar.
Yes. And there's a couple other nice surprises on there. And also Trent Bolte today. Trent is...
Maybe.
Oh, well, he said he's ready for us.
Yeah, you know Trent, though. He doesn't pick up.
I think he might be toying with us.
Highlights.
You think he's toying with us?
I don't think so. I think it's either today or he replaces Brett Favre as the most rescheduled interview that never happened.
Yeah.
But Trent met Chris Watt, the Colorado killer of his wife and two girls. I mean, it's a heinous crime. He met him on a gay app months before the murder, and they had a little thing. It was very strange. Chris Watt seemed to have no history of bisexuality there doesn't seem to be, right?
No.
No, I am not a male escort.
He was his first.
He was.
It's and then hot.
Yeah, that is hot. I'm sure it was hot. I think it was really hot for Chris Watt, and we'll ask Trent about that. Trent's been getting some crap on social media, which I find despicable.
Kill anybody?
No, he didn't do anything. He did nothing wrong. He met someone on an app like people do every day.
He was in love with me. He said that he'd never been so comfortable with someone.
I wonder what was going on with Chris Watt there. Isn't that? I mean, it's really Really
strange. The amazing pull of Trent Bolte. Be careful, Drew. You might be sucked in next.
Well, Trent, once he got the lip injections too, which Chris Watt paid for, I want to find
Botox
out about that.
Botox in my forehead and around my eyebrows.
Maybe he was trying everything once for the very last time. Just like going out in a blaze of glory.
Well, he had Nicole Kessinger, the girl that was, I mean, they were having smoking hot relationship. She was hot, yeah. And they were having a lot of sex. And
she didn't have Bolte pictures. Lips.
No. She's not Trent Bolte. Trent's got some pipes, man.
Yeah.
Is this their song?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought he had vocal fry, but it sounds like he's got some serious pipes.
Yeah.
Why don't you just file for divorce?
Is he pushing his voice? Is he officially pushing his voice?
I don't know.
That's his serious voice when he's talking about something serious.
He did that CNN interview, which was, I mean, that came out of left field. People were saying, oh, CNN, how dare they put that guy on? It turns out it sounds like it's true.
We laughed our asses off at Ashley Banfield.
I know. It was really strange, the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was not. Anytime a crime like this occurs, of course, there's fanatical interest in what happened there. But then this pops in out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, I feel bad for him that he's had a hard time online.
Oh,
I think that's bullshit. So
yeah, he didn't know. It wasn't his fault.
Anyway,
it's got to mess a person up. Hooking up with someone that turns out to be a murderer.
However, he does seem, I can only imagine. He does seem to be being himself on social media. I mean, those highlights.
Yeah, freaking us out.
Those fucking highlights.
Oh, that highlight, though. That fucking highlight, though.
He's amusing himself on Instagram. He seems to be moving on to some degree. So,
can he ever get in another relationship, though? That's what I'm wondering.
I think he will.
How do you define relationship, Trudy?
However Trent does.
I'm sure he'll find a way.
Yeah.
He just wants
Probably
to be.
Probably has already moved
just
on.
Just want to be loved.
Yeah. We have a very...
No.
Who used to say that? Oh, this Harvey Firestone.
I just want to be loved. Is that so wrong?
I just want to be loved. John Lovitz used to do him so well. That was funny.
Is that so wrong? That's where that came from.
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame today announced that they will not be removing Michael Jackson, who is a two-time entrant. And I wonder, I thought that was interesting too. Why would they?
They'd have to get rid of everybody if they got rid of Michael.
That's a big problem. Also,
not everybody molested that many boys.
No, but I mean,
allegedly,
there's probably a murderer in there.
Phil Spector's in there.
There you go.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Janet is being inducted this year, so it would not be wouldn't be very timely probably for them.
She's had nothing to say.
To do that. She's Janet, she hasn't said anything?
She's completely zipped, isn't she?
I don't blame her.
She really hasn't said much.
I really respect her for not saying anything because, I realize these are family members, but this is what currently pisses me off about this thing. I mean, I'm always pissed off about the whole Michael Jackson story. The fact that these defenders, first of all, they trash the victims. You know, they're liars. They want money. I don't know what money they're getting out of this, but anyway, that's what they say. Everyone likes to say that. That line is getting weaker and weaker all the time because, the R. Kelly girls say, our parents want money. They want money. They told me to make a videotape and sell it. Yeah, they told you to videotape sex with R. Kelly, and so I have a hard time believing that.
You know who's missing? And has the family just offed her because she had some pretty...
LaToya?
Yeah.
I know. Where is she?
That interview from 93 has resurfaced.
Oh, the one where she said he was writing checks to little kids all the time?
And that he has a problem.
I know.
And you haven't heard... Nobody knows where she is. She's with Shelly Miscavige somewhere.
Well, I know. That's really interesting. She must
I don't know.
She must be locked in some basement somewhere.
Probably.
They're just slipping food to her.
If you go to Neverland, she's the only one at Neverland. She's maintaining Neverland.
She's locked in the
game. People think it's the ghost of Michael, but it's just LaToya.
Oh, my God.
Running around now.
It's very, I mean, she certainly hasn't been afraid to speak out in the past.
Oh, and anybody would talk to her right now.
What pissed me off, too, is that, you know, everyone would suggest that what you say the first time is always the truth, and if you say anything after that, it's a lie. Well, the first thing she said was that he was molesting kids and writing fat checks to them. So she is on the record as doing that, even though she said something different later.
Yep.
Oh, that's by their own rule, then.
Yeah, by their rule, she called him a molester.
Well, case closed.
Totally false.
But all these people who would have you, you know, he found not guilty or whatever, that none of them will acknowledge that something was really screwed up there. Something really hideous was going on. You don't sleep with 10-year-old kids. All this crap. Why do people keep saying that?
I don't know. I think they should.
It was just weird.
Do they have any material evidence from the first time, the thing that, you know, where they took pictures of the closet with the padlock and the bed and the stuff inside the police?
Well, they had the picture of his genitals, which the kid apparently pretty closely identified his penis.
Well, yeah, except he had him as uncut. Or no, he had him as cut.
That was the one thing he got wrong and said, aha! Yeah, the fucking Brad said he was uncut. He's cirked. Or no, he isn't cirked. Yeah. And he said he was cirked.
Every time he saw it, it was hard, so.
That's what I was the assumption I made right away. But anyway.
Gross.
Besides, how do you draw an uncut penis? When everybody draws a penis, it's always a cut one.
Yeah.
Trudy's drawing one right now. It looks like Bart Simpson.
Is that it?
That looks like a piece of cauliflower.
What a nice picture that is. Look at that.
That looks like the cloud. Like when I load a podcast and I have the picture of the cloud. What is that?
She's working on it. It's in progress.
I attached some balls, but.
He's like a known dick drawer.
I mean it's.
Should that be the cover of the show? I've never seen one.
It definitely should be on the website.
Except in movies, so I've never actually seen one. So I don't
really?
Know.
Really? You've never seen one in person?
No. That's when the sweater gets bunched up over its head.
I remember suggesting this on the air, and it never went anywhere. It's another one of my great ideas is having women draw penises and then determining something by how they drew the penis.
Well, send them in.
You could probably learn psychologically something about, I don't know what. I was just exploring the idea.
How about we have them text it into the boner line?
Yeah, just
take anonymous.
A picture, draw it. Take a picture of it and send it to 20966 boner.
And we'll analyze it.
I will try to give my own psychiatric spin on the way you draw a penis.
Okay.
And you
cirked or uncirked?
It's for the women.
Oh,
draw it the way you think. I mean, don't give it much thought. Just draw it and send it in, and I'll tell you what it means.
Okay.
Just the way.
And send a picture of yourself with it.
I can draw on my screen, so
you can do that too.
It's fun finding pictures of people with their mouths open all the time, and I've saved a whole slew of them.
It's so much fun.
It's so juvenile.
How childish.
Is Nuge calling us?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yes.
Okay.
In about 7 minutes.
I was going to say we have about 10 minutes of boner line today.
Wow.
Yeah.
20966 boner. And I think we're going to run that maybe somewhere in the middle of the show. And take a little break, because a lot of people don't always make it to the end, and they never hear the comments. And I guess people were commenting on a lot of things.
Oh, they go back and forth on topics that we discuss, things that they notice, separated at birth. There's a lot. Farts.
There's some great auditions.
Really?
Well, I cut a lot.
They're all great.
How many farts?
Too many.
I don't know, maybe 2-3 a day. You know, it doesn't sound good on the boner.
It adds up.
Always from the same guy.
That's like 700 farts a year.
I guess I didn't notice if it's the same guy.
Taste of your own medicine.
Chuck commenting, I saw a pic of Mags, LOL. He looks like Bobbitt's penis, a Coke can with a head on it. Oh, come on, Chuck. Jeez.
We now come back for Purdue.
Drew would need a professional sketch artist for his alleged perfect cut.
Oh, this is live, so hey, we might get
Live right now?
Well, I'm just saying we might get some of those pictures soon.
Oh, anyone wants to draw a penis on the live Facebook, feel free. I'll do what I can.
They can send a picture on the live Facebook?
We'll analyze it and tell you all about yourself.
I'd rather have a little time, but... And then there are some people who fast forward to the end just to hear the boner line, musical chairs, podcast, etc. Patty, don't be musical chairsing the podcast. That's not the way it's supposed to be done. Joanna, poor Mags. That's good. Uncle Ted is calling.
Yeah.
Don't think I can handle Brandon small fingering the number again. I know.
Gross.
fingers are small a much bigger finger. Problem than I ever.
Start fisting those numbers, Brandon.
Oh, yeah, this does sound good. Like Beavis and Butthead right now in a basement.
Locking out. This is the music made me do it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again.
Wow. Right on.
I watched a live video of Ted performing this.
Really?
Yeah. It's some meaty guitar.
Hey, I noticed on the track listing, Sunrise is on here. Is that the same?
Yeah, it is.
It is.
It
oh,
is.
Okay, cool.
Yes.
Nice.
Everybody loves the groove. You got to get up and move and take it into your soul.
I thought the acoustic Fred Bear was really cool. I heard Frampton play Do You Feel Like We Do Acoustic? There we go. And I never thought that song could be cool acoustically, but oh my God, it was incredible. Coming over me again, just like it happened so many times before.
Yeah!
I wonder if I had not moved to Michigan if I would like this song the way I do, because I love Fred Bear.
I know it's a good guitar song, so I think so.
I wonder how much the rest of the country plays it, because it's a huge song here.
Yeah.
And I suppose hunters anywhere would know Fred Bear, but that acoustic version is very cool. Oh, is Ted there?
He'll be ready right at the top of the hour.
Okay, sweet. Oh, then I should mention that the Ides of March are smiling down upon us, and that means Gabara and the lovely leprechauns at Zotford and DealsInTheD.com are sharing their pot of gold in the form of 19 Ford all-wheel drive Escapes or new 19 Ford EcoSports as low as $82 a month. Yes, $82. Or lease a new 19 Ford Edge or 19 Ford F-150 Super Crew 4x4 as low as $97 a month. Yes, as low as $97 a month. For a 19 Ford F-150 Super Crew 4x4, Zot Ford likes to keep the green in your pocket, so take advantage of the charming payments. And if you're heading home at the end of a long workday, you should feel good. But for men with a failing marriage, home can be very, very stressful. Time to call Adam for some. The American Divorce Association for Men. There are advantages to being the spouse to file for divorce first. If divorce is in your future, get divorced on your own term. Adam is aggressive, diligent, uncompromising representation for men facing divorce since 1988. And there are issues that are gender specific. So call Adam, 248-284-4280. Hopefully you don't have to call. 248-284-4280. And the Hall Financial Hotline is open because Ted will be checking in any second now. They are the top mortgage company in Michigan for client service and big supporters of our show. You can reach Hall Financial if you want to get a refi or your dream home, your first home. Want to take money out of your home, shorten the length of your mortgage, any of the above, drewandmike.hallfg.com. You won't be disappointed. As one listener reported back, Hall Financial made the home process so easy. Words cannot describe this company's knowledge and attention to detail with home loans. I have friends looking for homes and have passed Hall Financial's information around. Strongly recommend approval for Hall Financial. Way to go with a personal touch and one-on-one interaction as well. Oh, that's heavy. Click the link on Drew and Mike podcast on our website. Fill out the online form and they will get back to you and faster. Call 248-308-5000 for Hall Financial. And they do sponsor the hotline, which will feature Trent Bolte later in the show. And the Nuge pretty soon here.
Yeah.
As the Pine Knob schedule or the DTE schedule starts to.
Oh, that's right. Oh, isn't it time for us to blow in a call to Eddie Money, too? So
the money.
Yeah. Traditional call to Eddie Money.
Of course. We talked to him last year. Why does Eddie Money work as the open? I still don't know.
I don't either.
But it's always presented as
the rite of spring.
There's only one way to open DT. But is there something about Eddie Money? Is he associated with spring? Is there?
He is now.
Was he born in May?
I would love to know. You know what? We should ask.
Was he born in May? I'm looking it up.
Bryant Fillmore to find out what it was, why he was always scheduled first.
He was born in May.
Was he?
He was.
No, he's born in March.
Oh.
Hey, wait.
March what?
March 21st.
Really? Okay, so he is associated with spring.
Oh. It's his birthday today. Let's call him right now.
It's the money man's birthday.
Yeah.
Oh, about that.
All right.
Wow.
How neat.
Brandon's doing his pre-interview, I think, with Ted.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Okay.
He may be interviewing some of Ted's people. Brandon will interview anyone who comes into contact with the show. It's
Ted was on with me.
A little frustrating sometimes.
Earlier today on WLLC.
Trudy's second interview with Ted today.
Why don't you just start it with, hey, long time no talk.
But there's much more to say.
No, Ted is a great person to interview. You will never be short of material.
Mm-mm. No way. No, sir.
Ted is never short. Ted has a lot to say. I listened to the interview over last time we talked to him because there were a few sentences that came so fast I thought, did that make sense? And it does.
Did you know he's doing a podcast now?
I did.
Yeah. Oh!
Uh-oh.
Brandon's fingers are involved now.
Wow.
I'm sorry to report. Yeah, Ted's making the rounds today, I think. I wonder how much radio.
Well, that's because Ted's the doing. Tickets go on sale tomorrow. So.
Today, for.
Right, yes,
purposes.
Today.
The 22nd, uh-huh. Same day as Netflix brings you The Dirt!
Right. Yeah, God, it's a very heavy rock day tomorrow.
It is a rocking day.
There we go.
Is that Ted?
Is this Drew?
Yes, it is.
Did you miss me, Drew?
Of course, Ted. How are you doing?
I'm doing so good. It's stupid in spite of the crazy world around us. How about you, son?
Not bad. And, Ted, I was listening to The Music Made Me Do It today. I watched the live performance of the song. You were too, huh? Yeah, the title track is a rip-roaring song. And then you've got the acoustic Fred Bear, which I thought was fantastic.
Why not? A spiritual erection. I perfected it. You know what I mean?
You have.
So, Drew, let me guess. We got Trudy and Mark and Brandon. Is the whole gang there?
Yep. Yes. Absolutely.
And if I may, for historical throttling purposes, I, too, dedicate this program to Mike of the famous Drew and Mike team. Boy, I miss the son of a bitch. How about you?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I can't put it in words. It was there's something just different about losing a friend. And, you know, we were texting all the time and talking a lot, even when he wasn't feeling well. And I
just think what Lewis would have thought if Clark died. That's exactly how you feel.
I do. Yeah.
But lucky you got Sacagawea there, so I'm sure Mike's smiling down about it. having a whole carton of Lucky Strikes while we're having fun on his radio show.
We have noted a lot of the things he would have laughed at, and quite a few he would have been angry about as well.
Yeah. Well, you know, he and I got along great because comedy cleanses the soul. And if he and I and you on occasion aren't the funniest sons of bitches in the world, I don't know what good we are. If you're not having fun with me, you're weird.
You know what's interesting about you and Mike is that
is interesting about me? I've always been fascinated by
that. There's quite a few things, really. But one thing you have in common is that I can look at a piece of news and I pretty well know where you and Mike will stand on it.
And we didn't hesitate to share that with you, did we?
Exactly. Yes.
Let me guess, before it became cool to be a critical thinker, we were already throttling voluminously.
We were trying. But Ted, you know, today I was thinking about another thing, and that is the fact that you and Kid Rock and certain people who view things differently than most people in the arts, you're on the right side of things.
Yeah, something we have this thing about truth, logic, and common sense. You know, it's really controversial.
And you know what? I always think that you guys, oh, man, so many people pounding on these guys on Twitter, and I just love the way you just don't care.
I could care less when you know you're on a true north compass setting. I mean, come on, it's 2019. I'm 70 years old. I'm having the time of my life. Because I made good, sensible, think about it, accountable decisions in my life for God, family, country. I know that doesn't sound like the author of Wang Dang, Sweet Poon Dang, but it is. I not only wrote Wango Tango, I meant it. But you can be anything you want to be in America and still be a positive force for not just your family and your neighbors and your community, but for people who disagree. You know who I have constant communication with? George Lopez and Tom Morello.
I mean, that's
almost like, geez, I don't know, Mother Teresa, you know, having a party with Che Guevara. So
Satan.
The name of the record is The Music Made Me Do It. 2019, I guarantee you, Drew, with Jason Heartless on drums, just the greatest drummer and guitar player.
I love the drums. I love the drums on that lead track especially. Man, he pounds away.
That's Detroit. That's the shadows of Johnny Banagic. Jason Heartless started with me, I think, when he was 19, like so many young musicians did, because they had that piss and vinegar and that spirit, especially from Detroit. And then Greg Smith has been my bass player, who's basically a funk brother. So the music does make me do it. And no matter what your politics might be, mine controversial because they're based on the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. You know, that's radical. And no matter what your politics might be, I can go any place and jam with people who disagree with everything, you know, controversial things like securing the border. Boy, that's weird. And, you know, the idea of self-defense. Boy, we won't have any of that. Those controversial types of things. And we get along fine. We jam. We play music together. It ultimately, you know, we talk about America being the melting pot. It continues to melt. It continues to, you know, coalesce dynamic, varying points of view and lifestyles. And we get along just fine. I think the best way to express this, which I'm really good at, is that the reason Bruce Jenner is now Caitlyn, is because I beat him in an off-road race and he was confused. Are you still with me, Drew?
Yes, I'm still with you. I want to go back to the band, which
so
is it seems to me, Ted, you're making a lot of noise with three pieces. How do you feel, three-piece, four-piece, five-piece?
Well, you know, I was born at the right time, huh? 1948, Les Paul just electrified the guitar. Bo Diddley and Chuck Berry showed us what to do with it. Dwayne Eddley and all those incredible Motown musicians. So they were visionaries I think I mentioned it to Trudy this morning, not the road less traveled, but the non-road uncharted. I mean, there was no outline. There was no road course for the music that Little Richard created. And so those of us, especially in Detroit, and I've been able to travel the world, but nowhere else did the musicians just absolutely swan dive into those roaring white rapids that the black blues and soul and gospel artists electrified and upped the beat a little bit, hence Mitch Ryder and Detroit Wheels and everything great about Michigan and all music. And I've always experimented. I mean, the Amboy Dukes at one time had five musicians. When I was in Chicago and I started the Amboy Dukes after moving there in 65, at one time we had seven guys. I know Kid Rock, I think he had 16 people on stage.
Yeah.
But my favorite music, especially with a Gibson Birdland, and I played it in the studio with you guys live, and you have to admit it has a spread of tonality and a dynamic, you know, voice of its own. A Gibson hollow body, North American hand-carved spruce archtop guitar that was not made for Chuck Berry licks, but I improvised, adapted, and overcome. And it has such a spread of tonality and such a spread of noise that I don't want other instruments to get in the way. I don't need a keyboard. I'm playing the keyboard and congas and rhythm guitar and lead guitar and six-string bass and horns and the Stax Volt rhythm section, all on the Gibson Birdland with the virtuosos that I'm surrounded with all my life. Lucky, lucky me. Especially all these years, right now with Greg Smith and Jason Heartless, Drew, these guys, they're unto themselves, they're just an absolute torrent of rhythm and grind and noise and clanging and gnashing of teeth. And so when you have each individual musician really playing a big sound and focusing on the groove and the communication with their fellow musicians, there's no limit. There's no 100-piece orchestra that could make the noise me and my boys make every night. So I like that adventure of the music. And I also mentioned to Trudy earlier, for me in 2019, at the age of 70, to celebrate that I had the greatest tour of my life in 2018 is absolutely unnatural. And this is going to be the best tour of my life. The guys and I jam, and I think Jason said one rehearsal recently, he said, you know, if the 25-year-old Ted Nugent showed up, you'd kick his ass. I'm still really, really lucky and healthy and excited and energized, and I love my music now more than ever. I played stuff on my Birdland this morning that I had to pull the dogs apart. They wanted to breed. They wanted to mate just because of the grooves. So I love it now more than ever. And when you've got that passion for the music that still inspires you and you unleash it onto your instrument, you're constantly tweaking amplifiers and sound systems. You got the best crew in the world, the best team. The sky's not the limit. The sky's the front door, man. We just break through it and go into uncharted territory every damn lick, every song, every night, and I can't wait.
Ted is the king of the adjective, isn't he?
I know. I just
you really are.
Draws a picture like nothing else.
And none of them are superfluous. They're all accurate.
The famous Dick Dale passed away recently, and I just wondered if you were ever inspired by surf music.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he was one of the founding fathers. I'm surprised I didn't mention his name with Bo Diddley and Chuck Berry. Yeah, I mean, what Dick Dale did with the Fender Strat still to this day defines why Stevie Ray Vaughan was Stevie Ray Vaughan. Not unto himself, more Lonnie Mack than Dick Dale probably. Yeah. But yeah, people always ask musicians what inspires them, and I've always said, I think you might have asked me that, Drew, back in the 1960s, and the answer is still the same. Everything from short skirts to train wrecks. I mean, everything inspires a musician, and when you've got these incredible musicians, especially that I've been able to jam with, I mean, I've played with Brian May and Eddie Van Halen, Billy Gibbons and Dick Wagner and Wayne Kramer. I've played with all of them. And you, when you're clean and sober like I am, you're, well, I don't know how I can say this. I don't know what kind of lack of control we have on the podcast.
Yeah,
but you can beep this. But my entire life is like a purple-rimmed dick. It's really sensitive. My level of awareness is like a throbbing teenage purple-rimmed penis. And
that will not be bleeped.
There is no stimuli that I can get away from. And so when I'm jamming with B.B. King, I'm the only guy that's not drinking that night, literally. And so I absorb every essence of what BB's licks and BB's attitude and his spirit and his positive energy and his cockiness and his musical adventure on Lucille, I pick up on that. And so you list the musicians that I've been just blessed beyond words to jam with, and I pick up on everything. So the inspiration, it never ends. So Dick Dale was a part of that with that surf, you know. In fact, you listen to the opening lick of Working Hard, Playing Hard. That's a Dick Dale lick.
Really?
I just played it on a Birdland.
Oh, cool.
Wow. That Miserloo, have you played Miserloo? Do you know how? I'm sure you know how to play it.
Absolutely. In fact, in 1958, at the Michigan State Fairgrounds, with Joe Podorsik, my guitar teacher from the Capitol School of Music on Grand River, who also taught Wayne Kramer how to play and all the greatest guitar players, I actually played Honky Tonk Boogie Woogie, and if I remember correctly, and I'm probably the only one alive that can, there was a little lick of Miserloo, because you get that right hand going, that, and you get that right hand fanning and playing speed licks on a single string, and every guitar player incorporates that at some time or another.
Yeah, where did that come from? I was reading when he died that it was a kind of a Mediterranean sound.
Mid-Eastern,
well, again, when you got an electric guitar as a kid back in those original founding father days of Chuck Berry and Bo Diddley, and certainly the Ventures, and certainly Dick Dale, and Duane Eddy, and Lonnie Mack, and B.B. King, and Freddie King, and Albert King, those guys were playing stuff that no one had ever heard before. So we all hear, you know, our parents' music on the radio, and even though you can't stand it, it does register with a person who's pursuing music. And there's not a lick that is off limits if you have a really adventurous spirit for music. And, of course, every rock and roll musician basically does, some more than others. but you absorb all those outside influences that are not rock and roll, some of them anti-rock and roll, like Roy Clark was a big influence. He played at Gibson Birdland. He played all that ridiculous country stuff. And you know why I can't play country? Because I still have a dick. but I can't stand most of that country stuff. Oh, but, you know, the Buck Owens and the Roy Clark, that picky, twangy stuff,
right.
you find a place for that somewhere at some time, even though you might do a little different twist on it so it doesn't sound country, because you want girls to listen to your music, for God's sake.
That's so true.
And I love the country guys. I tease. I'm constantly texting Blake Shelton and teasing him because it's easy.
August 31st at DTE Energy Theater. Yes, Ted's still playing the big outdoor venues. And I'm wondering, you've got so many phases of your career. You've got the early journey to the center of the mind. You've got your Ted Nugent music, your Damn Yankees. Do you incorporate all of those hits from your different incarnations?
We really do. In fact, this year we're playing Coming of Age by the Damn Yankees, because there's going to be a few dates where I'm close to the Night Ranger tour and close to the Styx tour, and we have been known to get together on stage and just have a Damn Yankee time. But yeah, it's not easy, because there's some early Amboy Duke stuff that, man, I'd love to play so many of those songs.
Oh, I love those.
And I can't not play Stranglehold.
No.
With all the love I have for the audience, it doesn't matter whether they want to hear it or not. I want to play it. So there's some songs. There's some guitar licks that my fingers and my hands and my spirit demand to just unleash every time I plug into a loud amplifier. I played it this morning. It's just so much fun. It's stupid. So, yeah, it's not easy to figure out what I can do in 2 hours when you have about 36 hours worth of killer songs. But I do my best. You know, I'm going to play Free For All and Dog Eat Dog and Motor City Madhouse. I'm going to play Cat Scratch Fever and Wang Dang Sweet Poon Tang and Wango Tango. I'm going to play The Music Made Me Do It. I'm going to play Fred Bear. We're going to do Little Miss Dangerous on some of the gigs this year. There's so many cool songs. And, you know, I know people love the spirit of great music, and if I wasn't me, I'd go see me play every night. I'd be in the front row watching me, because those are some killer licks, man.
That's the one problem with being Ted Nugent. You can't be in the front row at your show.
Yeah, but from my point of view, you can't beat it, man. You know, people go to my Facebook. I have 3.5 million Facebookers. By the way, I thought I would just mention that before the election in November of 2016, I had between 20 million and 36 million Facebookers.
Is that
right? Right after the election, all of a sudden, it stopped at 3.5 million.
What?
Very interesting. Anyhow.
Ted? What happened there?
What do you think? Maybe my constitutional politics pissed off the anti-constitutional politic people.
What, did Facebook just drop?
Oh, no. People,
sure they did.
Or people left because they're pussies and they don't want to hear an opposing viewpoint.
Wait, that big a percentage? That's, I know something stinks there.
Well, yeah, you're telling me, but that's why the basic media won't even try to debate me anymore, because I just eat their family tree and spit sawdust in their face.
Ted, to that point, you know, you had a string of reality shows that were great, and you were in acting, and you were doing these things, but that seemed to have stopped recently. Is that by your choice, or are people just staying away from you?
Well, the general media, which is basically ultra left. I mean, you know, people say, well, I don't like to get into politics. Well, then you should move to Cuba, where you're not allowed to. I think politics are based on this sacred experiment in self-government, which includes guitar players, and where we the people, which includes guitar players, are supposed to demand constitutional accountability from our elected employees. They're not elected officials. We are the electing officials, and I love my blood brothers in Michigan. I couldn't be more proud to be born in Detroit. I couldn't be more proud to be the Motor City Madman. But you cannot deny that my beloved Fred Bear birth state of Michigan is currently a political suburb of San Francisco. It's heartbreaking. Being that as it may, I'm available. I do interviews every day. I do podcasts every day. I have my own podcast called the Ted Nugent Danger Zone with Tim Wells. He's a bow hunt buddy of mine. He has another killer TV show on Outdoor Channel. And I set the world record for 3.5 hours with Joe Rogan on his podcast. And I suspect that our ratings will be rather powerful on this little podcast, boys and girls.
Absolutely. Well, Ted, you're a great interview. You're a fantastic. I can't believe that people would not want you on the Today Show or Good Morning America.
Well, all I have to do is watch what Piers Morgan tried to do on CNN on two different interviews, and I destroyed him. The left is all based on what made America great. What made an experiment in self-government the ultimate quality of life in the world, and let's ruin it. Let's not secure our borders. We know that gun-free zones are where the most innocent lives are lost. Let's have more of them. The left, they've lost their soul. I can't begin to explain it on logical and historical evidence-based information, so I stand what I stand, and the left avoids me like the plague because they cannot debate me.
Ted, you used to do Bill Maher a lot. Have you not done him
anymore? I was on Politically Incorrect, but 16, 17 times, and eventually he finally realized he probably shouldn't have me on because I kill him.
Ted Nugent, August 31st at DTE Energy Theater. And one of the great things about having Ted on is he'll answer any question. And today, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, a place I think we all have mixed feelings about at a minimum, they announced that Michael Jackson would not be taken out of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Now, I don't know if that's because Janet's being inducted this year or other reasons, but you've probably heard about Leaving Neverland if you haven't seen it.
Sure.
Any thoughts on that? I just feel like this guy is something was so horribly wrong with him. He feels like a monster to me.
Well, you know, here's my take on it. I met Michael Jackson when he was still Michael Jackson. He came to one of my 2 sold-out shows at the Madison Square Garden where AC/DC and Def Leppard were opening up for me. That's the night that the New York Union wouldn't let me do an extra encore, and so my fans burnt the place down, and I was banned from Madison Square Garden. Go figure. Anyhow, Michael Jackson came as, I forget which, not Thriller, but the one before that, was just coming out.
Off the Wall.
That's right, on Epic, the same label that I was on, and I had just sold, I don't know, 6 million records with the Ted Nugent album, the Free For All album, and then the Cat Scratch album. And he came and he just loved me. He really wanted to learn how to play those licks like I did.
What?
And I love the way you play those really noisy guitar licks on the guitar. And so I had him in the dressing room and I plugged in my Birdland. And I'm going to tell you, the moonwalk is nothing compared to how I made Mikey dance that night, man. He loved those grinding, sexy stranglehold and wang-dang licks. Point being is that fake news started way before President Trump. Stop and think, Drew. We know each other. You know me.
Yeah.
Can you, in your wildest imagination, think that I would have dissed the Native Americans?
No.
Of course not. I've celebrated the Native Americans. I've been invited into the sweat lodges by the elders of almost every tribe. I've had a great spiritual relationship in a bow hunting, hands-on conservation nature relationship with for over, I don't know, 50 years now. But the Huffington Post and MoveOn.org and the Southern Poverty Law Center, they are so dishonest that they wrote articles about how I dodged the draft, which I didn't, how I'm a child molester, really, after 31 years of the Ted Nugent Camp for Kids. The parents keep bringing their young sons and daughters to my camp because I'm a child molester.
I never heard that one, but well, geez.
It's just outrageous. Oh. So the point being that I just ignore them. People who know me, know me. People who hate the Constitution and hate entrepreneurialism and hate self-defense and hate guns and hate freedom and hate venison and think that I murder innocent animals, I don't want them to like me. They're crazy, strange, dangerous, dishonest, soulless people. So with fake news being so obvious, take Michael Jackson for the best thought I can. I don't know if he molested the children. If he did, I hope he's in heaven. But I know that he's so talented, it's insane. I know that he dedicated himself to being the greatest performer that may have ever lived this side of James Brown. And so I'm going to give him credit for that. And I think he should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, because what do we got in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? We got all kinds of creeps. We got basically better living through chemistry, you know, drug reservoirs. I love Keith Richards, and I love Jimi Hendrix, and I love, you know, Keith Moon. I love the music. The music enriched our lives and continues to enrich our lives. That's what the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame should celebrate. I don't care about if you're gender confused or if you have a Che Guevara shirt, which, by the way, Carlos and Tom Morello, when you're wearing the Che Guevara shirt, I hope you know that he would have killed you first. What the hell? How stupid can you be? Which, by the way, I love Carlos and I love Tom, but man, how stupid can you be? That being said, I love them for their music. I love great music. Remember when Paul McCartney attacked me for being a one-hit wonder and I had no good music ideas because I murdered innocent animals, and they, people thought, asked me what I thought of that, and I said, I don't think nothing of that. I would hate to think of our lives without Beatles music and without Paul McCartney songs. I love the guy because he's enriched my life with his incredible talent and gift and art. Who gives a damn what he has for lunch?
Amen. Well, I think a lot of people feel the same way, that separating the music and the art, you know, we're going through this with R. Kelly as well, and it's very complicated, but the music is the music, and I don't think you're going to get people to stop listening to Michael Jackson music, no matter how hard certain people try. But you gave me an answer. I knew you would. And Ted, I'm so glad you're coming to DTE August 31st, still touring and still declaring it the best tour that you will have ever done, as you always do.
I always have, because we're always on it. I mean, I have a real diverse life. You know, I've been fighting machine guns today and training with a bunch of sheriff deputies, and I checked my traps and killed a raccoon, and I trained my dogs, good, and I hugged Shemaine and had some venison chops for lunch. I mean, I have a real diverse life. I'm on the podcast with Drew and Trudy and Mark and Brandon, celebrating old Mike. Celebrating the music made me do it, and all things Motor City ass kicking. And in 2019, the music means more to me than ever. When you got Jason Heartless and Greg Smith at your side, you can go where God doesn't even know he had places to go. I mean, God hasn't even authorized my guitar licks yet, so I keep cranking them out. And with the guitar tone I have, with these stacks of amplifiers that I tweak all the time, you know, it's really about the sound, and great musicians always have a great sound and a great tone. And the way Jason tunes his drums and hits his drums, the way Greg tunes his bass and tweaks his amplifiers, the way Frank does our sound mix, the way the crew sets things up, the way these Birdland sound through these Fenders and Magnatone amplifiers, God damn, I love this shit.
Well, Ted, I'm so glad to see you on the roster for DT August 31st. Tickets are on sale Friday. So we'll fill the house up, and it's so great to talk to you, Ted, always.
I hope I get to see you. I'm in a party with you. I'll buy you a Verner's float.
I love it.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, right, Ted. Now.
Thanks, Ted.
All right, Drew, Trudy, Mark, Brandon, Godspeed. God bless America. God bless the Motor City. Live it up. See you at Pine Knob.
Thank you, Ted. Pine Knob it is.
Speaking of Jackson, have you seen this story about that guy, Michael Jackson?
Super fan moonwalks back on his Michael Jackson name change following leaving Neverland.
He changed his name to Michael Jackson, and now he wants to change it again.
Oh, wow.
After leaving Neverland. When do you, don't read further, when do you think he changed his name to Michael Jackson?
94?
4 years ago.
What kind of a wiener name is that?
4 years ago. We knew enough about him.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I'm surprised leaving Neverland at the number of people who say, oh, my God, that was the moment.
Yeah. We knew. Not only that, guess what his name was? This isn't the first time he changed his name to another celebrity's name. Care to guess another name he changed it to?
Is it music?
Yeah.
Elvis?
John Lennon.
Oh, God.
Nice name, not.
No more names for him.
I know.
Yeah, I agree.
We're going to give you one stupid name, and that's it.
Unless he wants to be R. Kelly, and then I'm all for it. Go for it.
Yeah, he should just change it to R. Kelly.
He became John Michael Jackson. Why John Michael Jackson? So, his first name John?
No, who is who?
I love you. I'm John Michael Jackson.
What?
I'm enjoying my second childhood for 40 years.
This is the best part about this story. He has a GoFundMe to change his name.
What?
Because it costs $160.
Hey, GoFundMe.
$160.
Nobody give him any money.
He's already met it.
Isn't that becoming a joke? Isn't GoFundMe just becoming a silly joke?
Yes.
It's ruining it for all the legit GoFundMes.
You know, I also saw that Taj Jackson has a GoFundMe to create a new Michael Jackson documentary series that will probably just defend him, and it's almost at $100,000.
Oh, for God's sake.
You know what? I hope he
I'm sure he'll be very honest.
He'll never get it done. It'll never be completed. He'll just take that money and blow it.
On whatever Taj Jackson does all day.
Well, that was the point I was trying to get to, is it's so disappointing to me that these people just uniformly trash anyone who would suggest that there was something wrong with Michael Jackson, yet we know that he wanted to sleep in a bed with a 10-year-old whenever he could, and he never slept with anyone else. It was just 10-year-olds.
The most lovely thing to do is to share your bed with someone.
Case closed.
But you only want to share your bed with a 10-year-old. Come on, we know that.
What's wrong with that?
Story. I don't know. That one's. I hope there isn't another documentary because honestly, I just want to leave Michael Jackson. He's dead.
He'll never get it done. Don't worry.
I hope not.
He will never finish it.
I know it'll be. It'll just trash the victims. And by the way, you know, I think we've concluded very succinctly and correctly at this point in time that when.
Don't do it.
When multiple people come forward with the same claim and they independently have the same sort of information that's somewhat like Jesus juice. Mm-hmm. That was a term a number of kids used for Jackson plying them with alcohol. You know, to just blanketly say, oh, they're all lying. They all want money. You know, like R. Kelly. They're all lying. They're all lying. No, conspiracies don't exist like that. Nope. It's just absurd.
Totally false.
Oh, Jackson. Yeah, Ted Nugent, August 31st at DTE. Energy Music Theater, and he is such an easy interview, isn't he?
You want to hear him with Pierce?
Yeah.
What happened with Pierce?
You'll still find that hilarious.
The music's hilarious. I'm on a rock and roll stage. I just sang a song about feisty. I mean, you got to be kidding me. On a rock, did you ever see Richard Pryor live? How about Sam Kinison? How about Lenny Bruce? I'm one of them. Get over it. That's some funny.
For a man who is a patriot who purports to love his country. Mm-hmm. That was quite shocking disrespect to your president.
Let me put it in official CNN Piers Morgan interview term. Shall I?
Yes.
My limey friend?
Yes.
Anybody that wants to disarm me can drop dead. Anybody that wants to make me unarmed and helpless. People that want to literally create the proven places where more innocents are killed, called gun-free zones, we're going to beat you. We're going to vote you out of office or suck on my machine gun.
Yes,
you can take it whichever way you
want. I'd love to suck on your machine gun, the whole point of your defense is that a lot of people do drop dead precisely because you are armed to the teeth.
Not
and you'd like
all.
Everybody else to be.
Not true at
80
all.
People,
write this down. See, you're so British.
You write this down.
So
80
British.
People a day die in America from gunshots.
And 75 of them to 78 of them, statistics by the Uniform Crime Report by the FBI and the UN study on violent crime, 78 of those 80 are let out of their cages by corrupt judges and prosecutors who know that recidivism is out of control, know that they'll commit the crimes again, and they let them walk through plea bargaining, early release, and program.
They still
kiss my ass.
Yeah.
Where you have the most armed citizens in America, you have the lowest violent crime rate, where you have the worst gun control, you have the highest crime rate. Pierce, choose one. Do you want a lot of crime? We have it. Gun-free zones. Do you want less crime? We have that. More people with concealed weapons permit. Why do you guys resist that statistic?
Well, don't say you guys.
It's you guys.
No.
Well, unless you're playing the devil's advocate.
I can play any advocate I like.
You're
it's
doing
my show.
A fine job.
Right.
You're playing the idiot's advocate here.
It's not the
more guns equals less crime. Period.
Unless I'm wrong, and I don't want to kiss
be sure to let
kiss
you know
your ass at this point, if you don't mind. Unless I'm wrong with your argument, you're basically saying that 90% of the gun crime comes from people let out of prison.
It's 96%.
Right, right.
But go ahead.
But they still have to get access to firearms. Mm-hmm. If you had your way, there would be 10 times as many firearms, right?
Not true at
all. You want everyone in America to own a gun?
Not at all. I've never said
that. That's your position?
And I got to tell you. And you.
What is your position?
And I hope you don't edit this out. Whenever I've done interviews with guys that are inclined to be anti-gun, they always go, well, Nugent wants everybody to have a machine gun. Nugent wants all the deer dead.
What does Nugent want?
Not even close.
What do you want?
What I want is the Second Amendment. We the people, free individuals, to have the right to keep and bear arms for self-defense. Mm. Find fault with that.
He is passionate.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't want to be on the other side of that argument with him, even if I... Even if I had all the talking points and I felt I was 100% right, I just...
Oh, maybe that's why other people won't interview him.
No, I think there's something to that. He's a... he argues very powerfully. Mm-hmm. And Trudy talked to him earlier today, and Trudy brought up the fact that Shemaine used to work at WLLZ when Ted met her. She was doing traffic over there. And the new 106.7 WLLZ is at 106.7, and they played the Police today. Trudy played Roxanne.
Squeaky wheel.
Yes. Pearl Jam, Better Man, and the Police. I thought the mix was really good. And I heard Bon Jovi after that, Living on a Prayer, which I'm embarrassed to say. I really like that song.
It's a great song.
But I was noticing some nice tempo Roadhouse Blues by Jim Morrison and the Doors.
Yeah.
Which, it's funny because that there's certain songs, and I know Wheels doesn't play many songs from the 60s. Probably just a, I don't know, 10, 20? Not a lot. Maybe
that.
If that, okay. Anyway, that song, it fits. I don't know how to explain it.
Because it's good.
Because I was surprised. Yeah, it's got a nice...
I'm kind of burnt out on the Doors, but I still like that song.
I do too.
Yeah. And you
know... It's a nice mix.
You mentioned the tempo, and the tempo in part is intentional to keep people, you know,
it's,
their heart rate going, feeling up, moving along.
It feels like a humping tempo, and I want to ask somebody over there, am I onto something there, or is that just, am I just hearing things?
Sure, you hit the post.
And then AC/DC came in, Shoot the Thrill, and Metallica. You guys are playing a lot of Metallica tracks, it seems to me.
Yeah, that's right. They were just here, so I think part of it is that. But
well, the new generation of classic rock
listens
to WLLZ 106.7, AC/DC, Aerosmith, Ozzy, Foo Fighters, Zeppelin, Pearl Jam, Guns N' Roses, Nirvana, Motley Crue, Van Halen. Here, Trudy in middays, Doug Podell in the afternoons, Bill McAllister in the mornings, and Casey's at night.
Hey!
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 If you've got a hole, she's filling it.
I'm gonna fill you up.
She's gonna fill you up. Trudy Daniels, 10 to 3, WLLZ.
106.7, Detroit's Wheels.
Nice.
Yeah!
And a backdoor man from the Doors, too.
Oh, okay. That's good. I like that.
And that reminds me of that Motley Crue movie, again, on Netflix. Yeah. I wonder if that'll get a lot of... Netflix seemed like an interesting place for it to debut. Is that a good move?
No, that is a good move.
Yeah.
I think it is, too. Because I would assume that every rock dog out there is going to want to see that. Mm-hmm. And they are sort of in the zone. They're in that phase of classic rock where, I mean, they're late 80s, early 90s. I think their biggest album was... 90 or 89? When was Dr. Feelgood?
That was before.
Was it before that?
Yeah. Had to have been.
I was thinking it was just before grunge. That was when they sobered up. I've been rereading The Dirt.
Yeah.
Which, oh my God, what a book.
89,
okay.
30 years ago.
Yeah, wow. 20 to 30 years, I think, is when your nostalgia really is just right. And that's why that 90s music is going over so well. All that Nirvana. You guys play a lot of Nirvana tracks, too.
We do. Some Pearl Jam.
I'd like to recommend Pennyroyal Tea, by the way.
Oh.
Maybe that doesn't fit tempo-wise. Maybe that's why it doesn't get played. I like that song a lot.
That sounds pretty good. I mean,
the album version does.
Can you play Pennyroyal Tea?
Which one do you want? Because the album version...
Album version.
I like them both.
I
like the album version a little better, but...
All Apologies, too.
All Apologies, great song. Yeah, and the Unplugged one is the one that seems to get all the airplay.
Yeah.
But they're both good.
Yeah. Come on, my
Yeah, it's not big on tempo.
But it kind of picks up. And
it does.
But the live album one, which was, I think, a bigger hit than this one, that's a lot slower.
Boy, that unplugged was monstrous.
Same? Dave Grohl.
It's on Heart-Shaped Box, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was like my third favorite song on Heart-Shaped Box, which I don't know what that means. Maybe that's not meritorious of airplay.
I think so. Three songs on Heart-Shaped Box. Think about it. That's pretty deep.
Yeah, it's a little deep.
Except Nirvana's a core artist.
We used to play Francis Farmer.
That. That's another good one. That album's really good. It just gets overshadowed by...
Is Lithium on Heart-Shaped Box?
No. Mm-mm.
Oh, that's on...
That's on...
Never mind.
Okay. But Dumb. Dumb is on...
Yeah, Dumb.
Serve the Servants.
I just played that on Rock 105. Anybody?
Oh, you did?
That and Rape Me and, like you know, front-selling Rape Me. It was sort of weird.
Up North gig?
Here's Rape Me.
It's a great song.
Or just go, Rape Me.
Rape Me!
Yeah, I
got a lot of shit when it came out, obviously, because people don't bother trying to figure out what the song's about. Rape me. I like how it builds.
Hope you enjoy being date raped.
It was strange.
It's like I've been raped. It's like I've been accosted.
It was strange to see Kurt Cobain would have been 52.
And a Catholic priest raped him.
His last birthday.
Yeah. We played Temple of the Dog, too, and all the Soundgarden.
Ooh, which ones? Variations. Which temple?
What did that?
Hunger Strike.
I think it was Hunger Strike, yeah.
Yeah, all that stuff is great.
Meh.
Yeah, definitely Hunger Strike. Oh, come on. It's growing.
It's better one.
There are, and they'll find them.
I got to mention, March has finally arrived, and that means that it's Ram Truck Month. It's Zot, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram. Jeff, Thad, and Stephanie need to sell lots of trucks, but it seems like everyone's more worried about fixing the damn roads. Well, how about these deals during Zot Ram Trucks Month? During Zot's Ram Truck Month, lease a new 19 Ram 1500 Bighorn Crew Cab 4x4. It's just $189 a month.
That's my dream truck, man. That's what I like.
Or you could lease a new 19 Jeep Compass Limited for $199 a month, or a new 19 Jeep Grand Cherokee for just $239 a month.
$239. Wow.
And employee pricing for everyone on the all-new 18 Jeep Wranglers. Lease one starting at $279 a month. And we know those Wranglers can handle our damn roads. Our friends at Zot, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram can't fix the roads, but they certainly have damn good deals. And they got a pretty good deal at Dr. Yaldo, too. Steve got LASIK last May, heard us talking about the warm weather, and wrote back to say, 2018, best summer I can remember. Spent time on my boat, never had to worry about swimming with my contacts or losing my prescription glasses. You know, I was working out today with my prescription glasses on. Got all this sweat. And
gross.
I know, it was repulsive.
I remember water skiing with contacts in. That was always a crapshoot whether you'd come up without them.
Yeah, exactly. Water skiing. I haven't done that in a while. Steve, like so many others, also reminded us that he can't believe he waited so long to get it done because it takes 5 minutes, it's painless, it's a major lifestyle boost. Glasses and contacts just mask your real vision problems, take them off, you can't see. Same goes for the amazing multifocal implants for people 50+, the Rolls-Royce treatment, no more reading glasses, along with great far vision for life. Get that free evaluation, let Dr. Yaldo and his staff explain your options, and then get the Drew and Mike discount for up to half off the regular price. Call 1-800-398-EYES, 1-800-398-EYES, or go to the Aldo Eye Center.
Thank you, Steve.
And we got 17 minutes to Bolte.
Oh.
Trent Bolte.
Can he do a voice stamp so we know it's him?
Yeah.
That's what he has to say.
Tell us about those highlights.
Either that one or Fort Collins. I'm going to ask him where he's living now. Hopefully he just goes, Fort Collins.
He's got pipes.
By the way, I screwed up.
What?
By asking people live on the Facebook Live to send pictures of penises. We haven't received any yet, but we have. We keep getting.
Oh!
Yeah.
What? Wait.
Real ones.
What?
Hope Solo's butthole and her vagina.
Wait.
I gotta say, I've never seen that angle of it.
Yeah, you have.
Oh, I have?
Man. Yeah, that's
what
it's
like. What gravity has
what
done
is
there?
What's going on
go
there?
Go back to that for a second. Now I'm interested.
Oh, please. Put that down.
I'm interested in the angle there.
Interestingly.
How did she do that?
I don't know, but Dr. Roche will do a diva treatment on her and get that all fixed up. That is a disaster. Is.
She would be in Dr. Roche's office.
Jesus.
Days working on that. God, what a mess.
You know what's bad? The other part about it that's really funny, look at the look on her face. She knows it's a mess.
Let me see her face.
No. She's like, oh. Yeah, check out this mess.
What made her think someone wanted...
We got one call on the boner line where someone keeps thinking, and we're talking about Han Solo's butthole. No, it's Hope Solo's butthole.
Han Solo's butthole isn't a thing. It's not a thing.
Ah, that's a great band name, though.
On Solo's butthole.
209-66 boner. You know what I was reading in the dirt was that ridiculous story. I should just go get the book. When they went to Japan.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, they sound like such assholes. And I'm also reading about the manager, Doc McGee.
Yeah.
And how he just could not wait to not manage Motley Crue.
Oh. God, I am.
I mean, they would have you believe that he was the most horrible person in the world, and he used them for his to get his light sentence for a large quantity of drugs. And he just said, you know, they'll tell you it's all about a couple shows that we did for charity where, you know, Bon Jovi had more stage effects and all that. He said the shit I put up with, the fires I had to put out.
How much money did he make off of them, though? Or is he just such a big manager he didn't need them?
I was intrigued by them. Well, he managed some other people, too.
It's easy to whine about it after the fact.
You know what's weird?
You have a book?
Mick Mars complains about money a lot. Like, he wants to get a new car, and he doesn't have any money. And
he's got a lot of health problems.
Yeah, well, he's got the health problems, but...
His net worth is supposedly $40
million. Why can't he afford a car, then?
Mick Mars? Well, this was in the late 80s, but I still thought, these guys have been touring the world? What's the deal? And somebody later on, it might be Nikki, says, well, Mick was playing for one quarter. He was paying for one quarter of our drugs. I guess that all came out of the group.
But, and it bankrupted him. Oh, my God.
Did he go bankrupt? He probably did go bankrupt, didn't
probably
he?
Probably did, if he was paying for their drugs. I mean, that crew.
Let me go get the book.
He looks great, though.
Who does he look like? He looks like
an alien.
Death.
The skeleton of an alien.
It's like
whatever that would look like.
Still
that's
sounds
it.
Good. Who among them are looking good though?
Vince. Vince looks healthy.
Oh yeah.
Nikki Six looks fine.
Vince does not look healthy.
Vince looks like my Aunt Norma. So.
I know Nikki is like
it's Nikki.
The only one that I'd want to like hang out with.
We did.
I know. He was great.
Yeah, he was good.
Really, really cool.
It was really
6 a.m. is a good
grounded.
Band, too.
Yeah. He quit them, though. Like last year, didn't he?
Hey, Trudy.
Yeah?
Did you know that the guy that plays Mick Mars in the movie is Ramsay Bolton?
Oh, no.
Really? From Game of Thrones.
Oh, that's perfect, actually.
And then Machine Gun Kid Kelly is...
It's
Tommy Lee.
Tommy,
the,
yeah.
The other two, I don't know who they are.
Huh. That's cool. I'm looking forward to it. I really am. That's going to be kick-ass. Did you get to the Ozzy snorting ants part?
No, I haven't gotten to that part. I mean, I read it once, but no, I have not in the reread.
Can't imagine doing that your entire life and still being alive.
There was a story like a month ago, a guy in Canada got pulled over for speeding, and he blamed this song.
Really?
Because he couldn't drive slower. Was I talking to you about this, Brandon?
I remember seeing it.
It might have been Bentley. And so we were kind of laughing about it. And then the song came on and I found myself driving really fast. Like, that is the best defense. It's true. You can't drive slow to this song.
Slow down.
I challenge you. Go the speed limit.
I'm going to turn up the rubber with my Lamborghini.
Hey, spud off.
It's a great song.
It's a good song.
I think the Japan story is, oh boy, probably the...
I'm sorry, I don't speak Japanese.
I don't know how you pinpoint the low point. There's just so many, but...
I'm Japanese!
I guess it's them reveling in being rock star assholes that... I just maybe... I don't think I'd be wanting to talk about a lot of this stuff, or I would have to point out how absolutely horrible it was. But
well, but they're talking to their audience.
Yeah, I get it. You know. It just, I don't.
It was the '80s.
I think it plays a little differently now. Anyway, Nikki's talking about how he was dating Vanity. You know, Prince's Vanity Six. Vanity. You know, who was smoking hot. Whenever she came out to meet us, she would annoy me, and I stopped dating her. She'd annoy me, she'd annoy the rest of the band and the Roku by riding a bicycle around the stage in the middle of rehearsal.
Oh, I'm with them.
That's so princey.
I'm with them.
Or doing something else obnoxious. It wasn't much of a relationship anyway.
What kind of bike do you have?
And the drugs had caused her to lose a kidney.
Oh, my God.
She was starting to lose her sight and hearing.
Oh, my God.
Found out years later, though, she turned herself around. She cleaned up, found God, became a reverend, changed her name back to the one her mother gave her. Denise.
You got like 3 feet of air that time.
I mean, but think about that, though. That's their place of work, and she's riding her bike around.
I know, on the stage.
Imagine your girl riding her bike through your office.
It does sound very Prince-like, doesn't it?
Uh-huh.
So, anyway, I looked up Vanity because I was like...
Take it off any sweet jumps?
Vanity was born again in 1992 after going through this incredible ordeal with drugs. She then went back on drugs in 94, overdosed, lost a kidney, got a kidney transplant in 97.
Wow.
Oh, they gave her another one. Nice.
And her taste in men, probably not the best in terms of having a settled lifestyle of any sort. Adamant, Billy Idol.
Whoa.
She was engaged to Nikki, and then she married the Raiders, I think it's Anthony Johnson. Is he the Raider player that killed three people?
Oh boy, I don't know.
I think. Let me look it up.
Oh,
Vanity.
My God.
I think I'm right about that.
Anthony Smith?
Was it Anthony Smith? Yeah. He played from 91 to 97. Yeah, Anthony Smith.
Yeah, Mary charged Noble firebombing.
He played football for Arizona, also Alabama.
Yeah, he killed some people,
convicted
too.
Convicted murderer.
It's crazy.
She was married to him. Yeah, firebombing, murder trials, and convictions. He and two others are charged with the 2008 murder of Morella Ponce, who was beaten and shot in Lancaster with his body being dumped near the Antelope Valley poppy fields. The murder occurred after a business deal gone wrong. Jury deadlocked in the case with a vote of 8-4 in favor of guilt. In July 2012, while awaiting retrial, Smith was additionally charged with three other killings. The 99 murders of brothers Kevin and Ricky Nettles, who were kidnapped.
He's a stone-cold killer.
From an L.A. car wash before being shot and their bodies dumped in the kidnapping and fatal stabbing of Dennis Henderson in Los Angeles in 2011.
He's bad.
Good guy.
But she was done with him by then, right?
I think she met him
after she was born again.
I think she was with him in 99.
Yeah, boy.
For that murder. Wait, were there?
I guess she wasn't totally birthed.
Three of the murders were... No, two of them. The two murders, the two brothers, she would have been with them, I guess. I mean, not for the murders, but he was convicted of the murders of the two brothers. They also found special circumstances. He committed kidnapping, torture, and multiple murders.
Okay. Oh, you never feel bigger than when you pull the trigger. The first man you kill, it is quite a thrill. But from then on out, it's all downhill. Oh, murder, murder, everybody.
He was sentenced to three consecutive life sentences. So anyway.
And she has died.
Shoot.
Yeah, Vanity died in 2017.
Shiny and sparkly and splendidly bright. Here one day, gone one night.
Gone too soon.
Dead at the age of who the fuck cares.
So after 6 months of touring girls, Nikki said, my existence had disintegrated to the point where every waking moment was about drugs. I went on stage to get drugs. I came off stage to find more drugs. I used my per diem to buy drugs. I traveled each city only to see if anyone had new drugs. Heroin, coke, freebase, jack, zombie dust. They all been controlling my life for a year straight. Everyone knew what was going on. One night after show, we returned to our jet to find a note from Steve Tyler and Joe Perry of Aerosmith in the windshield telling us, you're crashing and burning, and we can help. Though once we'd idolized them, now we just laughed at them, ignored their warning, and kept crashing and burning. Just before we left to Japan, an earthquake hit Los Angeles. I've been up for three straight days, and when I ran out of the house, the only thing I grabbed was my freebase pipe.
Oh,
that's how important it was.
Wow. Wow.
I didn't even take my house keys and had to break open my side door to get back inside. I was in a downward spiral. I didn't realize how low I'd spun till we started our second tour of polite, civilized Japan, where our antics made us stick out. Coming into Tokyo on a high-speed bullet train from Osaka, Tommy and I turned our super-powered alter egos, the Terror Twins. Powered by magical zombie dust, we were more powerful than the speeding bullet train, able to inhale large lines in a single snort, and blessed with x-ray powers that enable us to find and consume every bottle of sake in the train.
Oh, my God.
Jeez.
We ran up and down the aisles, saving the world by spilling rice and powdered donuts on our arch rivals, that copulating pair of supervillains, Emmy and Mick. That was Mick and the backup singer who had fallen in love and got married. And they tortured Emmy and Mick because Mick, they were unhappy with him for hitting on somebody in the within the group.
Oh, and breaking up the like gang mentality.
Well, shitting where he works, I think is the term they use. Yeah, even though others had done the same thing, but when Mick did it, it was not okay.
Did they pick on him?
Yeah, they kind of did. It sounds like he was the old man.
Yeah.
We started grabbing sake bottles and giving select passengers a purifying bath.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry to laugh. I know, these are asshole antics, but it's kind of funny.
Yeah. Our Japanese promoter, Mr. Udo, was terrified. You must settle down.
That sounds like a fake name.
No, he's real. Mr. Udo is famous. All the rock stars know Mr. Udo.
Really?
Yeah. He is the person who sort of translated these horrible rock people into... stiffer society rules over there and tried to sort of help them transition.
It's like a Mr. Belvedere for rock bands.
You might say that. You must settle down, he told us sternly. Fuck you, I yelled. I grabbed a bottle of Jack and I threw it at him.
The bottle
didn't even come close to its intended target. Instead, it hit a terrified commuter who collapsed to the ground with blood pouring out of his head.
Oh, great.
Mr. Udo didn't bat an eyelash. I want to do something for you, he said, but you have to sit down first. I returned to my seat. He pushed his thumb into the back of my neck. Ooh. A rush of some kind of fluid or blood ran through my body. I slumped in my seat, completely mellow. My superpowers were gone. Mr. Udo then walked over to Tommy and did the same thing.
Whoa.
We realized we hadn't been funny at all. We really had upset everyone, especially Mick, who looked like he was ready to walk out on us any minute. It was near the end of the tour. Everybody was sick of the show. Not the concert, but me and Tommy, the Terror Twins.
Ugh.
We got off the train in Tokyo. There were thousands of fans waiting. I walked out to greet them, but a squad of cops materialized and walked towards me. Nikki-san, Mr. Udo said, you're going to have to go to jail. You understand, don't you? Fuck you!
Oh, God.
You have to go to jail, Doc Mee tried to intercede. I'm his manager, he told the cops, and they threw him to the ground and handcuffed him, too. Tommy chased after, harassing the cops, yelling, take me, too! If he's going to jail, I'm fucking going, too!
There's Tommy Lee logic.
No, 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 Doc barked, trying to sound like he was in control. As he sat handcuffed in the back of the squad car. Take it easy. We'll have him out in an hour. After a few hours, they brought Doc and me to the sergeant's desk at the station. I was wearing leather pants, high heels, a torn T-shirt, and makeup. I was sweaty and still very high. It was after midnight and dark in the station house, so I took off my sunglasses.
Don't wear that outfit again.
I'd leave those glasses on, Doc said. Your eyes are blood red and there's makeup running all over. I put them back on, kicked my feet up on the sergeant's desk. I didn't give a fuck what happened. Sergeant
whack
on,
whack off, Mr. Miyagi.
And said something in Japanese. An interpreter who Mr. Udo had sent over translated. He said to please remove your feet from the desk. Hey, can I ask you a question? I snapped. Translator spoke to the sergeant, then told me I could ask whatever I wanted. If my balls were on your chin, where do you think my dick would be?
Oh, God.
Sergeant looked at the translator. The translator sighed and began speaking in Japanese. Sergeant said, thank you very much. Sure, I nodded. Two spoke some more. The translator grabbed my arm and escorted me out of the station. What the fuck just happened? Anyway, the translator did not.
So funny, I forgot to laugh.
Did not say anything about his
well, then he should have been fired.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what Nikki did. Anyway, this is a lot of pages of this type of thing, and I don't know. It's just starting to feel beyond. I don't know. I remember reading it and feeling sort of dumber for it.
Yeah. Burgundy lips, girls, girls, girls. Dancing down on the Sunset Strip.
Just a couple minutes from Trent Bolte.
Girls, girls. Life-lasting friendships. Wonderful people.
Yeah.
Girls, girls, girls.
This is some YouTube jackass.
No, that was a live version.
Yeah.
That's from the Girls, Girls, Girls.
It's Will Forte.
This is what Will Forte performed for the lesbian wedding.
Are we calling
so
Bolte?
So perfect. Yeah.
We are calling Bolte?
He's not going to answer.
He's going to answer right now.
He will.
No way.
I think he will.
Let me get a song. Hang on.
I'm feeling good about this one.
What's Bolte's song?
The same one. It's the one him and Watts love together.
Oh, yes. Oh, I forgot.
Lips of an Angel.
Oh, I missed the hook.
I thought he liked Talking Heads. Lips of an
Angel. Love this guy's voice. It's very Bolte.
Hello.
Hey, Trent. It's the Drew and Mike show in Detroit.
Hey, what's up?
How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you guys?
Okay. You know, we were just talking about the aftermath of what you went through with Chris Watts and wondering. I know you were getting some crap online, which I guess just goes along with the territory. But I mean, I can't imagine what that would be like to go through what you went through. You did nothing wrong, and yet. Was there a lot of abuse, a lot of trolling?
Oh, yeah. Like, I just got one a couple days ago that was probably the worst one.
Huh. Oh, no.
Threatening to Matthew Shepard me, like...
Oh, my God.
No, is this just because you're gay and then a target?
Probably, like, an easy target. I'm gay and I have fake lips and...
Yeah, the fake lips, and was that was from Chris, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I had been doing it long before I'd met Chris. I just told him that I had to go back to Wyoming because I had an appointment to get my lips done, and he didn't want me to go back, but she was giving me a better deal, so it was the type of thing to where he's like, just get them done here, and I'll pay for it.
Wow. So at that point, because you met him on an app. And,
yeah.
And
what app was it? Grindr?
No, Meet Me.
Oh, Meet Me. How do they spell meet?
E-E.
Okay. I just want to make sure. I don't know.
They keep it pretty PG.
But so you meet him, and I think he said that he was heterosexual originally, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
So then you meet, and he's not. He's clearly attracted to you, and you were attracted to him, and things went along swimmingly pretty quickly, I think. Did you, in the end, believe that you were the first gay experience he had?
Yeah, to some point, I still kind of believe it, but I don't know. Like, he just filled me with so many fucking lies. I don't trust anything that comes out of his mouth.
Well, obviously, he's a
sociopath
of some incredible level.
Yeah. See, I never thought, like, I have a college education. Like, I've taken psychology, and I can read people really good. Like, I never got that from him. Like, but he could have been putting on an act the whole time, too.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know.
You never would have imagined he would do something like that.
No. And to this day, I still... would be lying if I said he's the nicest guy I think I've ever dated, probably.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
How long did you date him? How many, I guess, dates or encounters did you have with him total?
15 to 25, maybe. 15 wow. to 20.
Did they all end the same way?
In sex?
Yeah.
You mean?
Yeah.
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 So he was... See, that's what I thought was interesting. Okay, he's a sociopath. We know that. He likes men. He likes women. And
but Trent didn't know that, though. I mean,
Trent didn't know that. But what I'm getting at is the fact that he would never have met a man or had any relations with a man before. It seems like the fact that he is a sociopath, he wouldn't have the hang up of, I mean, he would be inclined to do whatever he wanted.
Oh,
sociopath.
Yeah.
I'm not putting him down for having being interested in men. I'm just saying it doesn't seem like when you look at the lines
no
he's
boundaries.
Crossed, you wouldn't think he would have that boundary.
Right.
But apparently he did until then. And you guys were, in your mind, something serious was going on. He was talking about getting you guys were talking about getting an apartment, right?
Yeah. Because I seriously thought that. Well, I thought he was already divorced until I met his daughters, and then after that, I thought like it was the process was on. So we went and looked at houses in Fort Collins, like, yeah.
You spent a lot of time with them then.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a real legitimate relationship. It wasn't just sex.
No. Yeah, well, no.
What other things did you guys do for fun?
I mean, just normal stuff, really. Like, kick back, make dinner, and, like, watch Netflix.
And chill.
Yeah.
So while this is going on, he has this, it sounds like, very powerful relationship going on with Nicole. And yet you knew nothing about that either.
No, I didn't. The way it seems to add like time up is like I split with him in May. So he was with Nikki for 2 months. So hopefully that was when he was with her.
Okay.
I don't know. But that's just kind of what I'm hoping. Like, I could really give a shit if the guy cheated at this point.
Sure. But what were you going to say, Brandon?
I was going to ask Trent, what went through your mind the first time this popped up on local TV and she and the daughters were missing, but then ultimately...
I didn't see that part at all. The first thing that I saw was Chris being taken away.
Wow.
What was that like?
I instantly got ill and went and puked in the guy I was seeing bathroom.
Are you still with him?
No. Fortunately, I just attract fucking weirdos.
Yeah, jeez. Unlucky in love.
The second guy after Chris, like, he had an 8-year-old son, and, you know, I really click with children. I've always wanted children, but, like, him and his mom still lived with him.
What?
Yeah, like, lived off of him.
He's
33, and his mom's white. That's
a lot of baggage.
Yeah, supporting his mom.
Either way, like, I think it was the first new show I had done, the Ashley Banfield.
We saw that.
They called me right away, and they're like, get away from whoever you're around right now.
What?
And I'm like, why? They're like, yeah, I was all freaked out. And I'm like, why? She's like, they're taking video of you and like trying to sell it.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my God. Like,
what, a TMZ or something? How did Ashley Banfield find you?
Social media, I think. I don't know.
Was he the one that tipped them off, or by the fact that he was trying to sell this video? Was that how CNN found out?
No, I don't think so. I think when I did my thing with Ashley Banfield, I'm like, I don't want my name out there. I think everybody already knew.
And that's when he tried to move a video.
Yeah. Yeah, there was like a video. There was the pictures of me sleeping in his bed.
Oh, my God, how creepy.
Did anyone...
Yeah, like with his son sleeping in the bed, too. Oh, wow.
Jesus.
You're gonna sell your son out for like $1,000?
Did anyone buy those pictures and publish them?
No. I think I got 3 calls. From 3 different producers. They're just, yeah. When I got the first call, I handed the phone to his mom because his mom, you know, the producer was like, lady named Caroline. So I just didn't believe it. So I handed it. I was like, what is she talking about? And I handed it to Patrick's mom. And she used like this excuse. Oh, I was over at my friend's house and she probably got into my phone. Like, bitch, she wouldn't get into your phone. You won't even let Travis play a game on your phone. Like, you know, like, I'm not dumb. Mm-hmm. And then Patrick was getting real mad at me because he was really pushing to see, like, the nudes between me and Chris.
What? So he could sell them?
Who knows?
Whoa.
Probably.
Man. I just think it's real weird. And the type of guy Patrick was, or is, like, I'm like, it's just going to make you feel bad about yourself. Why would you want to see it?
Trent, when are you going to find a nice guy to settle down with?
Yeah.
I don't know. You guys should put on, like, your podcast, like a national search.
Sure. Who wants to date Trent Bolte?
Yeah.
Well, we've
never know. You never know.
We've seen your Instagram page. You look like you're having some fun on the Instagram page.
Yeah. That highlight doll.
Oh, it freaks me out. It freaks me out. I don't know why. It freaks me out when you do that.
I know. I knew it freaked one of you out.
Me.
Yeah. Is that you emulating somebody? Are you emulating somebody else when you said that?
Just pretty much every, like, beauty person on Instagram or YouTube.
I was educated, though. It's not your hair highlight, right? It's makeup highlights?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you mean, yeah, Brandon? How did you know?
Well, because he's talking about it as he's, you know, showing his cheekbones to the,
the
camera.
Yeah,
I couldn't take it anymore.
I didn't know that. I thought he was talking about his... I still thought he was talking about his highlights.
Now,
his
you
hair.
Do have these pictures on your Instagram where you're putting lipstick on those new lips. What did that feel like when you find that had those giant, full lips and you could put some nice lipstick on there?
Oh, see those were brand?
Yeah.
Yeah, it felt kind of dirty, but I got paid for them. So maybe it felt... maybe it was more dirty. I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, those are like brand deals for new shades of...
I can't wear that color, but yeah, you look really nice.
I don't think I could either.
How did you make a brand deal?
Kind of fell into that through my friend in L.A. He's at Ipsy. He was the first man that worked at Ipsy. I had to do a YouTube video with him. We did something together where he talks about, like, I'm the one that actually taught him makeup. And so then I started getting PR in the mail. Yeah, and then I got emails for brand deals. So I was like, oh, yeah.
Has your Instagram following increased because your name is out there? And a lot of times that's all it takes to get more followers.
I don't think so. I think that's like at like 700 or 800.
Okay. Did you want more followers?
I mean, I'm always down.
You're over 1,000 now.
Everybody
what's,
is.
What's the do you want us to give out the address?
Sure.
It is at TR3NTBO.
Trent Bow, but the E's a three.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a tricky address. See, I would have just gone to your name.
I'm sure if you search his name, it pops up.
Bolte, yeah. What else do you do for a living?
I work in healthcare.
Are you a nurse?
What's that?
Are you a nurse?
I'm just laughing at the way you said healthcare.
Look at those pictures.
Yeah, this guy doesn't like my... What do you guys call it?
Your vocal fry. I love your vocal fry.
My vocal fry.
Yeah.
See, that sounds like it's a choice.
I don't think so.
No? Okay. Because I don't hear any vocal fry when we're talking to you.
No, it's only when he does a serious interview the vocal fry comes out.
Yeah, well, whatever, man.
Is there some more audio on the Instagram page?
You know, I don't know which ones are which, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I got.
And here we go.
You're fanning yourself.
Thwarp.
What?
Thwarp.
Thwarp.
That's when you...
Thwarp.
What?
That's good.
What?
I need some social media pointers. This is really good.
Why am I learning so much on Trent's Instagram?
Yeah, you guys could learn a lot from me, man.
We could.
Trent, I read that you, back to Chris again, that you wanted to see him in prison for closure one last time to ask him some questions.
Is that not true? That was kind of, like when
cheek.
I went to do the interview with Inside Edition, she was like, now, if you were to ever see Chris again or have the chance to visit him, what would, you know, and then they even kind of edited it to where they're like, oh, Trent's going to see him. It's like, fuck that.
What?
Has he tried to contact you?
I can't say for sure.
I don't know how easy that would be to do.
What if he was allowed one conjugal visit and he chose you, Trent? Would you take him up on it?
No.
No.
Was he a good lover? Or was he really selfish?
No, he was really giving.
That's interesting because it was his first relationship with a man, so it probably was exciting as hell for him because it's something he never done.
It was a lot different than, I don't know, man.
Did he blow up right away?
Did he tell you that it was something he had always wanted to do? That it was something he'd always, or was it something he claimed he recently had wanted to do?
It was something he always knew. He always knew about. But he
did like women. I mean, it's very apparent that he did.
Yeah, and I asked him. I'm like, so are you bisexual? Are you pansexual? And he's like, I don't think I need a label. I'm like, ooh. I feel that. So.
And after you met him the first time, you guys met, and then did you go back to your place, or was it his mother's place? I'm trying to remember.
It was my place where I was staying in Loveland.
And how long after you met him did you guys actually get into it? Because it sounded like it was pretty quick.
Yeah, he was really nervous that first time, and he just kind of jumped into it.
Ooh. So he's pretty fired up.
Yeah.
He's pretty fired.
Who's that?
Yeah, you could say that.
Who's that? What
did they say? What was the background comment?
Oh, he was just laughing about, well, he's pretty fired up.
Did he blow up right away? Like the second you touched it?
Oh, man.
I mean, the first time, it's his first time. It's something he always wanted to do. You got those lips?
Yeah.
Of course he did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have predicted that.
Hey, you said that you guys...
Which one of y'all called me unattractive, though? I have beef with that one.
What?
What?
Whoa. None of us.
I think that's true.
They're like the unattractive guy. It's one of the male ones.
Oh, see, not what? Me. What? Not me.
It's either...
I don't... Sorry. I'm not sure that's...
We've been pretty pro Trent Bolte.
I heard like a podcast once that they were like, well, and he's not even that attractive. Oh. I was like, what?
Well, you're not really our type, so I don't know if we're the right ones to judge.
Well, yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and say that was Tom Mazzaway.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Great call. Good job, Brandon.
Not here.
Yeah. Fuck you, Tom.
Yeah. Say it again, Trent.
One more time.
Fuck you, Tom.
Oh, boy.
A new drop is made. is that your new relationship over there, or just a friend?
No, just a friend. I'm staying away from relationships for now.
That's a good idea.
I don't know. Your Instagram, that man in a uniform.
What? I can't even remember that night. Like,
ooh, nice. Are those the best nights?
Sometimes. Well, like, yeah, I needed it at that point. Like, yeah. I was. Like, this seriously, like, I can joke about it now, and I'm the type of person that I need comedic relief to, like, feel sane about in some situations, but I'm on pain management, so I'm on fentanyl and oxycodone, and for the, like, through December, all I did was sleep. I was really excited when my friend Kaylani wanted to go with me to Denver. Yeah. So, we got totally... fucked off.
Trent, when this all went down with Chris, and yeah, I mean, like you said, you were shocked, you threw up. I would imagine that the investigators probably wanted to talk to you. Was that something that took up a lot of your time? Did they have to go through the whole thing with you?
Oh yeah, you didn't see that they released the
interrogation room.
Yeah.
Footage, right.
They released that. They released the phone call with my mother. Like, and that girl flat out fucking lied. She's a CBI agent. She's like, my mom's like, well, I just don't want this getting out. Like, I don't want certain people hearing it. Mm-hmm. And so that lady knows that, like, when cases like this, everything gets publicized after they come to, you know, a sentence or whatever. So that, like, I don't know.
So she assured your mom that it wouldn't get out?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and the way they did Chris, too, like, when they interviewed him this last time, and they're like, oh, you can be honest with us and blah, 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 and just tell us what happened, and, you know, this interview won't go. I said something like it won't go to the public.
The one about one about the actual murders?
Yeah.
Did you watch that?
Yeah.
That was, I couldn't, I mean, honestly, he sounded, when he got to the daughters, I thought you could tell he was having a hard time spitting it out. But honestly, I don't know, that was, it was just amazing right. to hear someone talk about doing that. And I don't think he even cried.
No.
And you met, you did meet his daughters, didn't you, once?
I did.
Oh, God.
Yeah. But in Colorado, like the outdoor shopping malls. And Loveland had Centerra. And Loveland was maybe 10 minutes away from Frederick. So I lived probably less than 10 minutes away from his house. But yeah, he called me and he's like, oh, I'm over by the Ulta that they're building. And then I get in and he didn't even tell me his daughters were coming.
He wanted you to meet his daughters?
Yeah, but he didn't even tell me, like, oh, you know, Bella and Celeste are in the car. But,
right.
Like, quite it a wasn't, shock. It, at the time, like, it was whatever. But thinking back now, I don't know.
Well, you know, the fact that he would want you to meet his kids.
That's weird.
Sounds like he, you know, maybe he was, and you were talking about an apartment at one time. It sounds like he was really thinking about
breaking
a relationship.
Yeah.
Which would have been a, you know, a huge change.
Or that they
in
weren't
going
to be around very long.
Right. Yeah. Or that he wants to use his kids for.
Yeah. For himself.
Yeah. That, a lot of guys like that. I don't know. Like, obviously, don't think closeted guys are the best right now. But.
Yeah. You need some.
I don't know. I don't know which guys to go with. But I'd rather date a guy with a kid because. You know, like with adoption, like gay men are put last. Like, that's pretty hard to get kids. And I don't have $100,000 to hire a surrogate.
Trent, how old are you?
29.
Oh, well, you got time.
Yeah.
Don't be in such a rush. Keep working on those highlights, though.
Yeah, that fucking highlight, though.
That fucking highlight, not that highlight. That fucking highlight, though.
Highlight, though.
Yeah. Did this? How did this impact your career? I mean, you got a job. How hard was this to? I mean, I can't even fathom what it's like to try to go to work when all this is going on in the media.
I still haven't fully started working again. I'm only working PRN. Because my boss, nursing soup, was like, you know, patients are talking about it, but worse, like, you know, everybody, like all the employees are talking about it. I'm like, are you firing me for this? Like, straight up ready to go, like, crazy white woman. I don't know.
Yeah.
But. She's like, no, just work PRN, like work in the cath lab.
Trent, why don't you move to Hollywood and become a star?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, you don't know.
You
have the backbone. You have the personality.
Yeah, but it just seems that something that comes naturally, and people go out and try to fish for it.
What if someone offered you to do gay porn?
Been there. Done
what?
It.
Oh, really? You have?
Yeah. My when I.
What's your stage name?
Not telling you that.
Oh, come on. We're like buddies now.
No.
Why?
Not quite yet, but.
What?
When we fuck, we will be.
Oh, then we'll never be buddies.
How long ago did you do that?
Yeah, I worked. At I was a go-go dancer. Oh. I started when I was 17.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
What was your song? What was your favorite song to go-go dance to?
Oh, God. It was that dude, Genuine.
Yeah,
Genuine.
Was the name of the song.
Shake That Ass?
No.
What? That's like his most famous song.
Pony? Yeah, from Magic Mike.
Yeah.
Oh,
pony.
No, not pony. No. Maybe that's his stage name. Maybe it's Trent Pony.
Or maybe Trent Bolton.
Did you like dancing?
I'm just a bad one.
Why don't you get back into go-go dancing?
Because I'm not any heavier, but I have a lot more stretch marks, and yeah. I haven't gotten any better looking. Well, I don't know.
Well, those lips, though.
Those highlights, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have perfected the lips and those fucking, that fucking highlight, though.
Was porn rewarding?
It was rewarding to, like, be fucking one of the, like, upper producers.
So it didn't...
You didn't like doing it, though?
I did, but I didn't, like, I wouldn't say I liked it, but I didn't mind it either.
Was the sex good?
Yeah, set up the scene, Trent.
It's just different, man. Like, it's not like cuddling up to, like, whoever you're with and being like, hey, let's fuck, or whatever.
Oh, like Watts did?
Yeah, it's different. Like, you're putting on a performance. Like, nobody... I don't care how big your dick is. Nobody's going to be,
Was it just a one-on-one?
Or
was it like a big group scene and you just felt like a number?
I did.
Yeah.
I did 5 scenes.
Wow. Hot. In one day?
No.
I'm just kidding.
How did you have to act too? I mean, was there a scene, a setup?
Oh God. Yeah. My acting was so good.
What? We got to see it at least. We need to see this.
Yeah. Somebody got a dick?
Yeah, my acting was so good. It's like, coach, you know I'm the best on the team. But need the position.
Pull D, drop, and give me 20.
Everyone else has worked for it and done something for it. You got to do this. I'm like, oh, what's this? Oh.
How cliche.
Yeah, porn.
Somebody got a dick?
True.
Yeah, I don't think the writers worked too hard on that one.
No.
Wow. Well, Trent.
No, I mean, never mind. I'm not going to say that.
Oh, no. Go ahead. Go ahead. Don't hold back.
You have to now.
Oh, God. Now I forgot. Well, I remember, like, the gist of it. But, yeah, it's not hard to find.
Well, we really appreciate your giving us some time, and this story is just so absolutely insane. And I'm not surprised people would give you a bad time on social media. I mean, it's such a cesspool. It only makes sense, but hopefully.
Well, it's such an age of internet warriors or internet thugs, like.
Trolls.
You don't seem too affected too much by it, though.
You guys caught me on a good day.
Oh,
that's good.
Well, I'm glad. I just hope you have more good days, because that's—I just can't even imagine going through something like this, and then the aftermath of, just shitty, trolly people.
Yeah, people calling me a liar, people calling me a homewrecker, prostitute, like that bullshit. Shit. That's what I was talking about, like with the 2 main investigators, the CBI lady and the FBI dude that interrogated me. I'm like, I just don't want like male escort to go up next to my name. I'm flat out like telling them over and over. Right. And they're like, oh yeah, we'll do everything we can. They didn't do dick. And I don't have to fucking ask them to know that. Like, they didn't do anything. Just like for Chris, they're like, oh no, we'll let you tell your parents first before this goes public 2 fucking days later. Ugh. I don't even think 2 days. I think it was a day later.
Boy, I saw that interview with his father in the room where they walk out and he tells his father, oh, God.
Hey, you did tell Inside Edition that he got with the miss, I can't remember her name, after you ended things in May. Why did you end it with him?
Because I found out that he was married in February.
Oh, because he loved it.
Yeah, and Bella's like, can I sleep with you and mommy tonight? And I'm like,
oh. Is that how you found out?
Yeah.
Oh,
I was like, well, I better go to bed. I got to work at 6 a.m. tomorrow. And he's like, yeah, I better get these guys in bed, or these girls in bed. Mm.
How'd you break up with him? Did you ghost him, or did you say, you know, send him on his way?
No, see, I feel like I was looking out for his future. Like, if he wanted to date men, he couldn't just tell them whatever the fuck he thought they wanted to hear. Like,
you tried to help him?
But being the sociopath that he was, after you said something to him like that, was he like, no, no, it's not like that, Trent?
Yeah, pretty much. He was like, there will be no other men. Like, I'm only attracted to you. And it's like, whatever, dude. That's why you got a boner every time we watched a Ryan Gosling movie.
Is that what you watched on Netflix?
Oh, we watched a lot of stuff.
And did you make him blow you one last time before you kicked him out the door?
Well, I think like shit still went down, yeah.
Yeah, of course it did. Yeah.
Did you guys watch porn too, or just Ryan Gosling movies?
Just Ryan, yeah. Ryan Gosling. Dude, we watched this weird shit. It's on Netflix. What is it called? Chris was like, oh, let's watch Who Took Johnny? And I was like, all right, man, but like if I get uncomfortable, I'm going to change it. Just pretty much kind of trying to tell him something, kind of open up to him, but without opening up to him. Mm. Yeah, he was really, yeah, he watched that a couple times.
Mm. Wow. Trent, again, I just want to thank you for your time, and it sounds like you're listening to the show a little bit.
Yeah, I have been.
Cool.
Yeah, for sure. I'm not going to lie. I didn't know. There's so many podcasts now. Like,
I know.
So many. It's oversaturated.
Well, glad you checked ours out, at least.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I'll forever be a listener to yours and Chris D'Elia.
Aww. Oh, yeah. Chris D'Elia is good. I like him.
Yeah.
I haven't heard
he's
that.
Funny.
Comedian.
I'll check it out. Yeah. Good luck to you, and let's stay in touch.
All right. Yeah, for sure.
Thanks, right, Trent. Have a great weekend.
All right. You guys, too. Don't have too much fun.
All right. You, too.
Bye.
We'll see you. I gotta wish because I can't be Trent Bolte. Wow. I didn't think he was going to ghost us today. So it really was
he was waiting for a good day, I
miscommunication.
Believe
that. Yeah, I think it's nice being straight with us.
It just sucks to just be pounded online for something that's just completely out of your control.
Well, not to mention what he'd already gone through. Jesus.
And his job.
It's not his fault.
Not his fault.
It was just...
But he's a nurse, and there are jobs for nurses everywhere, so hopefully...
And for Tom to bully him and say what he said, that he wasn't attractive. Jeez.
Shut up, Maz.
I like this song now. You turned me on to it.
It's a good song.
Yeah. Who does this song?
Hinder.
All right, we have 10 minutes of... 209-66 boner material.
Yeah, a lot of it.
The boner line.
Mm-hmm.
But first, I just want to remind people that the best of is tomorrow. Brought to you by Scott Kunith, Realtor Scott Kunith. And if you need help in determining the worth of your home, you want to sell your home, Scott, always Scott. Or you want help finding a new one, call Scott or text him at 248-797-7746. That's 248-797-7746. Or S. Kunith at CBWM. Scott's the rising star. Ooh. He won that award this year for Coldwell Banker Weir Manual. And he'd love to help you.
Nice.
He's helping
Good
some other
job.
People. We have gotten him some referrals. And that's the other thing. If you're not in the market for a home, sell your home or buy another one, maybe you know someone who is, and hopefully you'll refer them to Realtor Scott Kunith of
CBWM. You're just better at real estate than they are.
CBWM, 248-797-7746, or S. Kunith at CBWM, and that's S-K-U-N-N-A-T-H at CBWM. And he brings you the best of Drew and Mike. I'm trying to think. Oh, I wanted to mention that No Filter Sports We'll be doing a show. What time will that be up tomorrow on Friday? Today,
I assume
actually.
It'll be before noon, so okay. Before the next games begin.
And Eli and Denny and Bob Page will be talking about the Michigan State and the Michigan game and all the March Madness from Thursday as they move the show one day in order to get that in, which is great. And then they're back on Monday to talk about the weekend in March Madness on No Filter Sports.
MSU won. It was kind of a...
It's an escape.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Yeah, it was a little...
Yeah, I'm interested now.
And thank God to in-game betting, I managed to get them -9.
Dude, you got to go home. Using your voice.
I know. It's the worst, isn't it? It's the worst.
Very thin.
Sorry. I'll just shut up.
You should talk in a bolty register.
It kind of works. Yeah. I can't talk loud or high.
Yeah. Just,
you know what story? The story that I would love to, I want to hear more about it, is supposedly this USA skater, this 22-year-old Mariah Bell, kicked this 16-year-old South Korean in the shins with her skate and put a gash in her leg. Now, some people are claiming that, they just collided. But other people are saying, she's been bullying her for months.
USA!
And
we do have actual audio.
We do? Okay, good. Her English is a little off. She meant that she kicked me with a skate. And the Lim Yoon Soo, the South Korean skater, she finished 5th, and the bully finished 6th.
Ha!
So cheaters never prosper, as we see there once again. So the best of, is there anything on deck for next week or this weekend we want to mention before we get to the boner line? There's a lot of boner line.
A new ML podcast.
Oh, ML. That's right. Is that out?
It will be, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. By
very soon.
Friday?
Yeah. Okay, yeah, tonight.
The
piece of garbage. After we post this one, I'll get that
the
one posted.
The Soul of Detroit podcast with ML Elric. It's available on many, many platforms. And, of course, Charlie's got a special show.
Yeah.
I don't know if I should give the guest away or not. It's a very special guest. I think,
hell yeah.
Very beloved person.
I think anyone here would want to hear this because you don't really hear this guy interviewed a ton.
And sexy, too.
And he is the man. Mm-hmm. So there's that. And then she's talking about somebody next week who I would really get a kick out of hearing. And
what?
The idea that this man will be in my house is just
write it down.
So weird about
it. You shouldn't have any secrets from me.
Is it Elizabeth Holmes?
No, it's not.
On her upcoming nuptials?
Who is it?
I know, of course that bitch is with some heir who has tons of money. Christ. That guy.
What?
No. Really? I know. Hilarious. That's
no way. Oh, this is going to be fun.
I know. It would be very intriguing.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Yeah.
I don't know how that'll go. I really have no idea.
Oh, if he's going to do it, I think it'll go fine.
I have future audio.
Okay.
I said, get out of my house.
You buzzard. Call him a buzzard.
Yo, buzzard.
Wow. So, all right. You want to hit the outro, Brandon?
You got it.
I was trying to figure out what's going on this weekend, but it's March
basketball.
Madness weekend. It's all March Madness, all weekend long.
Basketball.
And then, of course, Motley Crue, The Dirt on Netflix. I got to watch that at some point this weekend. I'll have to skip a game or maybe I'll have to get up early. Like us on Facebook, rate us on Facebook, rate us on iTunes, tell your friends about the Drew Mike podcast. Of course, we've got the Facebook live videos, which seem to be getting a lot of views, maybe about 5,000.
Ted was on today, right? Nugent?
Was Ted on Facebook?
No, he wasn't.
He was not on Facebook.
Well.
Oh.
Okay. Hmm.
The...
I don't know. Yeah. I was busy. I was busy working.
You doing?
There's Facebook lives
going to the bathroom.
Going back months, you know, with Gibby and Mickey Redman and so on and so forth. And, of course, the Amazon portal.
And Hoey.
Gary Hoey was great. Yeah, if you want to shop with Amazon, we do have the portal. And, yes, it does benefit the podcast when you use the Amazon portal. On the Drew and Mike podcast website, the donate bar is there too. We have a lot of people generously donating every month. from very small sums to sums that blow my mind. But it's a big help. As this year's starting to shape up. I was worried when the year started, but it looks like maybe we're going somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be here a while.
Hell yeah.
So, there you go. Have a great weekend and enjoy the boner line.
Hit the lights. It's boner time.
A big one.
Drew, my podcast. What's up?
Hey, Drew, Mark, Trudy, Mass, friend on.
Yeah, just want to say I love the show. Listen to you guys every single day. Definitely add another Mad Day.
Yeah.
He takes a beating from Mark, but he's funny as hell. And what the hell? Where the hell is Trent Dickey?
I wish I'd never met him.
He had an excellent segment about Alex Jones, about how he grew up lying, obviously. A couple great stories where he said he took on the whole football team or what have you. So maybe you could check into it. It's really cool. Some great sound bites.
Yeah!
Maybe these guys can stop sucking now.
Oh, you're all angry now.
Hey, a ridiculous alert on Channel 4, 5:01 p.m. The Channel 4 news had a ridiculous. It's solid.
It's ridiculous.
Hey, are you guys doing a March Madness pool this year? Because I dominated last year.
You do! I win!
I am definitely on Madness' side. About everything.
Hey, get out of here.
Oh, hey, Drew. My name's Keith.
Who the hell are you, anyway?
You might remember me from the Oak City Grill.
Who the fuck is that?
I just want to throw it out that I'm recording a podcast right now.
Yes, this is live.
We'll do it live.
And so I really appreciate the inspiration and also your guest starring spot that you just had on the intro to the voicemail.
The most inconsequential podcast possibly ever.
Good luck with the podcast.
Lou, I just have one complaint about your Michael Jackson coverage. Is that you don't go into the cave enough when you talk about him. Please, go into the cave anytime his name comes up. It's hilarious. I love it.
I love you.
I want to hear you interview Trent Bolte so bad, but he's toying with you guys, man.
There's got to be some way get this effing bee out of my life.
I am so fucking triggered by this whole Michael Jackson stuff.
I feel traumatized, bruh.
How do you pay a kid $25 million to shut up? Maybe they started at like $2 million, and then it's, okay, how about $3 million? Like, how did you get to $25 million? Obviously you did something.
Totally false.
I have a conspiracy theory about the twat who got in Chelsea Clinton's face.
Chelsea Clinton?
I think that she is a supporter of Chelsea Clinton. And that she did that stupid stunt in order to force people into a corner where they had to support Chelsea Clinton.
Chelsea Clinton?
Hey, Drew, you need to check out a podcast called The Dropout. I heard you talking about that POS Elizabeth, whatever her name is. It's really interesting. You'll really like it.
Who listens to podcasts?
Oh, come on now.
Yeah, talking about toll roads. I lived in Chicago and was going out to Minneapolis to visit a brother. I had this brilliant idea of just driving in the left lane super fast and go through the pass lanes without a pass, but just hit my brakes so the guy behind me would just tailgate me and be all pissed off. But he'd be so close, he'd be covering up my license plate. I ended up going there and back without one ticket. So I'm a genius, genius, genius.
The great genius.
I am listening to Trudy playing Mr. Crowley on WLLZ, and so far it is probably better than getting punched in the asshole.
I will punch your asshole if you don't listen to Trudy.
Don't be a little bitch. Listen to WLLZ with Trudy. 10 to 3, mother.
106.7 Detroit's Wheels.
Just driving around, rocking out to the new wheels.
You heard all about it on the radio.
How does Maz not listen to the program? He drives 2 hours there and back to work. I don't get it.
That sure is a mystery.
Also, a question about Michael Jackson. Why does he like 28-year-olds? Because there's 20 of them.
Did-oops.
Yeah, I just wanted to call to let you guys know I broke up with my girlfriend last night, and all day today, player Dave drops have been stuck in my head.
Go away, I'm dating somebody else. I hate you.
This message is for Mark and Maz. Don't forget about our gay rights meeting tonight at 7 p.m. Thank you.
Good, we can finally start the big meeting.
Hey guys, serious sister shallow thought. I was watching the Elizabeth Holmes documentary last night. And couldn't keep my eyes off the guy with the half beard, half no beard.
I mean, that guy's got a stash you wouldn't believe.
Maz, hey, Detroit loves you, so Maz, quit feeling so sad.
Got it.
When he first started on the Drew Mike podcast, Maz was reluctant to swear at all. Now he's dropping F-bombs like crazy.
Ass.
Crap cock.
Asshole.
Damn it.
That's bullshit.
I'll fuck you up.
Team Maz all day, even though Maz probably won't hear this because he doesn't listen to the podcast.
No.
Oh, my God, Maz is such a pussy. Ugh.
Son of a bitch.
I was listening to Charlie LaDuff's No BS podcast, and at one point I heard Mags and Layla barking upstairs, and I died a little. I love you all.
Mags and Layla.
Stop it.
Hey, Mags, quit shitting up the studio.
Hello, everyone. My name is I leased a car from Maz 18 months ago. I'm the guy that gave him the vintage Lions pullover as a gift and also told him that if it did not fit him, he was to give it to Drew or Mark, which he never did. You know what he did? Threw it in his back seat, and I'm 98% sure that it's still there. Anyway, ask Maz about the pullover. He's supposed to give it to you.
It's gone. Just don't worry about it. It's gone.
Drew, I was just thinking with the whole gay Drew thought that kind of pop out every now and then, it's kind of sticking out of my mind how you're talking about Girls Gone Wild. Great memories. And the first thing out of your mouth was, hey, didn't that guy have stuff in his butt?
Get your freaking finger out of my asshole, buddy.
Hey, I really miss Mark. Hope his daughter's okay.
You miss me?
Brandon is an unsung hero in the podcast that drops before I can think them in my head. They are playing on the podcast.
Brandon. Okay.
Thirdly, my new favorite part of the podcast is Brandon taking the time to go back and bleep Maz's shout-outs. Cracks me up. Good stuff.
Mother effort.
I love the show. Thank you so much for everything that you do. I am just calling to say that as I'm hearing you talk about the Theranos story and Elizabeth Holmes and how they were only supposed to need just a pinprick of blood, I keep thinking about Pink Floyd, Comfortably Numb, when Roger says, just a little pinprick. Hi, guys. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I love the boner line. The montages that you guys put together, the comments with the draft responses are hilarious. Thanks for making me laugh. Keep up the good work.
Hi, baby.
Hey, just wondering what Dr. Stuart Fisher, the author of The Park Avenue Diet, has to say about Paris Jackson.
She's a low IQ individual.
Hey, Drew, you get off on the numbers about the listeners for the show and downloads. I love hearing you get all excited. Talk about numbers. Busting in your pants.
Why is he counting so loud?
No exaggeration. I counted. The Waffle Guy said, you know, 98 times. It was so hard to listen to. 98 times, you know? You know?
You know what I mean?
You know,
If you guys could play more drops from the memorabilia guy, that would be great.
That question should be referred to the New Jersey State Police.
I'd rather take a dirty toilet plunger up my ass and have a circle jerk with my dad and my grandpa than listen to another Mazdaq.
Ain't it'll cost you extra?
True! It's your forensic accountant. Do not put crying in your repertoire, please. Men crying is not attractive. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Quick separate at birth, that Theranos CEO that brought, and then Jason Segel in Forgetting Sarah Marshall when he's impersonating that person from Sex and the City.
Less people have to say goodbye too soon to people they love.
Oh, I'm Samantha. I have sex with everyone.
Can you let Maz know that our family got a bargain cremation done for $700?
Hey, I tell you what. You can take a good look at a butcher's ass by sticking your head up there, but wouldn't you rather take his word for it?
So is it true the winner of the Sterling Heights naming contest is the golden buttholio a little bit?
And I will spank my butthole a little bit.
I did not think that a nude bar customers that took their clothes off. You were way off on that, and I thought that was probably the funniest thing on the show. Okay, love you.
Stop laughing. It's not funny.
I mean, just the customers put their naked panties on bar stools and just talk like it's no big deal.
What are you laughing at?
Oh, my God. I'm watching Elizabeth Holmes. She's got to have the most hateable voice ever.
Oh, I'd love to have a voice like that. What a voice.
Happy 700th episode. I want you to quit talking about Han Solo's beehole
It's disturbing to hear. I've never even seen it.
I think I saw his butthole.
Hey, Maz should take that graveyard job, because I feel with his weaselly skills, he would have to do absolutely nothing at work. And that's what kind of person I think he is. As little as possible to get it done.
So what do you do for a living?
Hey, this is for Brandon. Tons of pussy in backgammon. Tons of pussy.
That's right.
I think it officially needs to be changed from serious issue, shallow thought, to serious issue.
Shallow.
Thought.
Genius.
Hey, this is backup Drew here. There is a nude bar in Key West, and it's the Garden of Eden, top floor of some dumpy bar. The only nude is some old saggy dude who sits at the bar with no clothes. The only times I've been there, that guy's always there, and he's always naked.
I knew it!
I want to be part of the show, too.
Hey, get out of here!
Hey, guys, it's Melissa. Just calling to say that I gotta go. I'm really busy. Okay, see ya.
All right, I gotta go.
Bye!
All right, man, love the show.
Thanks, see ya.
All right, see ya. See ya.
See ya.
See ya.
See ya.
See ya.
See ya.
See ya.
See ya.
Goodbye.